everything appropriate in its time, has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work of God, which has done from the beginning even to the end. I told Lou that he didn't need to wear a jacket, because it does get kind of warm up here, but I see he's got his jacket, so if he takes it off, you realize it gets kind of warm up here under the light. So, Lou?
Already. So good to be with you today. See all these smiling faces out there. For the last year and a half, as most of you know, Rhema and I have been worshiping down in Chambersburg, Church of Christ. And while they're looking for a full-time preacher. And we're really enjoying the congregation of around 20 people. Now this is a little intimidating for me here with so many of you today, but we're so glad to be here. I want to thank the elders for this opportunity to speak with you today. It's really a privilege to serve God in any capacity that we serve him. Amen. You're going to hear a lot of amens today, so sharpen up your voices. This is a very upbeat topic, and I'm going to try to present it as a very upbeat, inspirational topic. I have to give a disclaimer, however. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning, so you need to keep me awake, by your amens at least. Would you go to God with me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you for this congregation here and all the people that are here today, dear Lord. And we pray, dear Lord, you continue to be with our worship service as this message is presented today. Please bless the time we spend in this message. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Need to put my other glasses on so I can see my notes. Now I won't be able to see you. The reading glasses. You know, sometimes this life is so frustrating. We have our problems of sin. We have bills that we need to pay. We have many responsibilities to take care of in our life. We have disappointments. We have aches and pains. All the time. Aches and pains. As we get older, we have more aches and pains. I hate to disillusion some of you young people, but that's part of the aging process. There's got to be something greater for us here on this earth and beyond. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the film Ghost gives us a little hint from Hollywood's perspective what it might be like. How many people remember the film Ghost? Okay. Well, the main character, Patrick Swayze, was a good guy. His friend was a bad guy. So, of course, by the end of the film, Patrick Swayze is going to a very special place. So how does Hollywood depict that? Well, they depict it visually, obviously, because it is a film. Anyway, he's standing there facing his girlfriend, Demi Moore, and he's in front of a beautiful blue background. And he tells her that the love you have within you, you take it with you. That sounds great, doesn't it? Anyway, while he's standing there, these little white figures are coming up on him behind him. And I guess they're supposed to be angels. I don't know. But these little white figures are pulling him up and away from Demi Moore as we assume that he's going to heaven. Hollywood's perspective, isn't it? Well, the time has come for the film's character to rise, we'll say. However, Ecclesiastes 3:11 takes a biblical approach to what we're talking about today, eternity in the heart of man, as Larry just read. It tells us of a time. It tells us of what it holds for us. Here it is. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That's our subject today, brothers and sisters, eternity. You know, God's beautiful but tantalizing creation is too vast for you and I to really fully understand and take in and appreciate. It's awesome, overwhelming mysteries. Yet, its satisfactions are too small, since we are made for eternity and not earthbound creatures. The things of time cannot fully and permanently satisfy us. We look somewhere else. We look to eternity. As you know, heaven and eternal life are two of my favorite subjects to talk about and to sing about. As you know, I only know 7 songs. I've told you that more than once. And they're all about heaven. Mildred Cantrell, when talking about heaven, used to say, "Outstanding!" It's kind of like when I say, "Mildred, how's the chicken at the, what's that name of that restaurant there that everybody used to go to? It's on, what's that? Fire Mountain. How's the fried chicken there, Mildred?" "Outstanding," she used to say. And when she talked about heaven, it was outstanding. And I agree with her. And I think you will too. You know, I humbly approach this subject of eternity with my limited human knowledge and understanding, knowing that sometimes the symbolic nature of this glorious, great, inspirational theme is powerful. Knowing also, as Christians, you and I, according to Scripture, will spend eternity in heaven with our awesome God. Amen?
Amen?
What a promise. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 9, that there is a time for everything. You and I, living on this earth, measure our physical experiences here through the realm of time. Time, as we know it, was created for us by the God of imaginative ideas. Our God, however, resides outside the age of time, doesn't he? Because he is omnipresent, he can enter and leave the realm of time at will. Being omnipresent, our God can be in all places throughout the universe and in the highest heavens at the same time, according to his will. God himself transcends time and space. As Christians, however, you and I, for a brief moment in the time of our short physical life, are bound in the construction of the frame of time. But eternity, an age distant of time, awaits our arrival, doesn't it? You know, our journey into eternity begins when we enter in our covenant with Jesus Christ through baptism. John 5:24 assures us. Are the scriptures? Oh, there they are. Ah, oh, okay. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. I love this part. He has crossed over from death to life. Amen? You gotta love that. Here in the scriptures we just read, we see that faith and life eternal are connected. Eternity fills our hearts, now in the present, physical life as well, making the decisive decision to come to Christ, you and I no longer belong to the realm of death, but our future is in the realm of eternal life. Amen. From the poem of our daughter at age 9, I'd like to read that. We see eternity and heaven through the imaginative words and eyes of a young child. The poem begins. I have seen it. It is a white cloud surrounded by blue. It swirls up and down, in and out. Up to heaven it goes, swirling about. It will reach heaven. It will meet Jesus, the angels, and God. It will lead us to everlasting life, one that will last us a lifetime, from the mind and heart of a child. The key words in Rebecca's poem, Heaven and Everlasting Life, represent an age of time which never ends. Eternity is at the beginning and the summation of what I call the ultimate journey to heaven. Living a faithful, obedient life, I remember Paul Cantrell using those words many, many times in Bible study, you and I arrive at our final destination at the end of our travels in this carnal body. We will enter into spiritual life and live forever. Amen?
Amen.
I love to hear those. You know, knowing we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ through baptism for our sins, the call will go out to us, and you and I will answer that call without reservation. 2 Peter 1:10 and 11 encourages us with these words. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a promise. You know, like a mist on an early morning on the water forms and then quickly evaporates, physical time eats away at our mortal lives. We Christians are not destined to live our physical lives here on this planet forever. Our time will come when all things will come together in Christ, and it will be time for us to go home with him. Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us about our present body and our glorious future at the conclusion of this life of flesh. The dust, our bodies, returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. As spiritual beings, you and I will live in an eternal home and dwell with the King of eternity in his spiritual universe, if I can use that term. We will live in a new body, a heavenly body, one that will never see decay, a spiritual body, a body of permanence. Amen?
Amen.
Second Corinthians 5, 1 through 3 offers you and I everlasting hope. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Unfortunately, though, presently you and I are held captive, in a sense, to our body that is destined to die, that is, our physical body. And our perception of the world we dwell in is of a physical nature through our human experiences and vision. For example, living on Long Island, I did a lot of photography. And when I look through the lens of my camera, I can see to infinity. That's what it says on the lens of my camera. I can see to infinity. Now, the greatest example I can use of that is standing on the shore of the Long Island beaches and looking out at the natural horizon where the sky and the water meet. That's as far as I can see with my naked eye or with the lens of my camera. That's the limit of my visual observation. Infinity. The furthest reaches that I can see. Well, scientifically we know that that is where the curvature of the Earth takes place. It's a point approximately 40 statute miles out from where we're standing. So that's infinity, whereby infinity represents the outer limits of our human vision in distance. Eternity, on the other hand, represents God's awesome creation of spatial expanse outside the realm of time and physical experience and existence. There's quite a difference then between infinity and eternity, isn't there? Looking out further with our spiritual heart, mind, and soul, we know that by faith there is a place in the highest heavens reserved for us, a place, an age without end, that the Bible calls eternity. Some of you might remember the show Outer Limits, if you're old as I am, on TV. Oh, we only got a few hands here. That's scary. 1950 show on TV, The Outer Limits, took us through a visual medium of TV to places and experience from the minds of the creative writers to purge our minds of everyday thoughts and plunge us into the imaginary world of science fiction. And then we have Star Trek. How many people remember Star Trek? Now, don't fail me now. Okay, we have that. Star Trek took you and I out beyond our world to the outer reaches of the universe, where no other man has gone, I think they said. We witnessed and visually experienced futuristic worlds and people through the writings of Gene Roddenberry. And by the way, that program was to fail. It was not to succeed when he presented his scripts. Kind of like the 1939 film, Gone with the Wind. That was not to be a hit. Can you believe that? It's a classic today. Science fiction, through its world of fantasy, offers us a temporary opportunity to escape the cruel reality of a sinful world and evil people. But you and I have an everlasting promise and opportunity from our holy God, don't we? An escape route out of this sinful environment that guarantees our blissful safety and freedom from our sinful, hostile world we presently live in. 2 Peter 1:3 through 4 reveals to us. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know, because our God loves us so, he made available for you and me a spiritual life and existence without end. God's goodness and mercy through his awesome grace brings about our salvation when we commit our lives to him through baptism. You know, when we obey the gospel of Christ, which eventually leads us out of this physical domain, you and I enter an eternal position in heaven that was created for us even before time, as we understand it, began. Going back to the Old Testament, I'm referencing a scripture here. In Daniel's dream, God, the Ancient of Days, I love that name of God, is seated on the throne. He awaits the results of the judgment of the heavenly court. the books were opened, Daniel 7, 9 through 10. Now turn with me to Revelations 20, 11 through 15, where we read about the judgment of the dead. Read along with me. I'm reading from the NIV. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
Yes, sir.
Not a good future for those who don't obey the gospel. Romans 2, 6 through 8 warns us and repeats over and again, we will be judged by what we have done on this earth in our physical life, brothers and sisters. However, please keep in mind, and remember this, please keep this in mind. We are saved by what Christ has done for us,
yes,
not by our words or deeds. However, for you and I to live a more Christ-like life, we are to use our words to encourage and admonish one another in love. Wholesome words only. Use no slander, gossip, or coarse joking, or even sarcastic talk. Greet and acknowledge one another. Listen to one another. Love one another as Christ loves us. Amen? Now let's take a closer look at the condemning words or images used in Revelations 20, 11 through 15. Hades is a Greek word. It is known as the abode of the dead. From the Hebrew, Hades translates to the pit, stillness, death, deep darkness, most commonly Sheol, a Hebrew word. From the New Testament, Kehenna, or Kehenna, is used, and the word means where sinners will be punished after death in hell, or the fires of hell will take their toll, Matthew 5:22. In at least one passage in the New Testament, Hades is presented as a place of torment, Luke 16:23. Hell, by the way, is an English word used to translate Hades, a place of eternal punishment, especially by fire. The lake of fire described in Revelations symbolizes or represents a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which suggests the wicked will be eternally punished. Revelations 19:20. I think, brothers and sisters, you can easily see the words eternity and eternal life are stated in the Bible as words of eternal warning, a place of very undesirable nature, or a place of heavenly bliss with our Lord. Much better. In the Apostle John's dream or vision in Revelation, heaven and eternal life are offered to us through metaphors and other symbolic images and language to give us a glimpse of eternity through our human worldly perception of heavenly things to come. in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4, I like what Paul has to say there. Paul speaks to us of a vision of paradise, the third heaven. In the Greek, the word paradise is represented as a lush green garden, the destination of the righteous. On the cross, at the moment before his death, Jesus said to one of the thieves, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43. In the New Testament, paradise is believed to be a place of bliss and rest between death and resurrection for those of the eternal promise. In 1993, my pop, as I call him, died of metastatic cancer. Doctors said he only had 6 weeks to live, and he died within that 6 weeks. 10 months later, my mom, who suffered from Alzheimer's disease and didn't even know me, she lived with us for 10 months and called me by name, John, being her deceased brother. That hurt me, but I understood it. She died of a heart attack in 1994. So within 10 months, I lost my mom and pop. I was grief-stricken, but I didn't know how to express my grief. Right before my dad died, he'd made me power of attorney over all their affairs, and my brothers and sisters as well. At the time, I had 5 brothers and sisters. I had to focus on a lot of business, insurance, wills, things like that. I didn't have time to grieve. At mom and dad's funeral, a lot of people were crying. I couldn't shed a tear. And my children, Pat, Paul, and Rebecca, said, "Dad, how come you're not crying?" "I don't know," I said. "I don't know." I was so caught up in the business of dying that had to be done. Well, one night I went to sleep very restless, and I had this awesome dream, which I call a room of preparation. I found myself in a room with mom and dad, or mom and pop. And it wasn't a very usual room. This room had no walls. It had no ceiling. It had no floor. It was a room of darkness, except for a little earth shine that was lighting the room very dimly. I was able to see mom and pop in this room. I didn't know why I was there. The only thing that separated us was a white door on this black space. It was suspended in this black space. This goes beyond all physical things. It goes beyond my imagination. How could someone be suspended in black space if you're not an astronaut? But in the dream, I was. They were. Mom and Pop were dressed a certain way, and Mom had a green outfit on, and the light that reflected off her dress or suit reflected on the white door. There was a green glow on the white door. Very limited light in this room. Suddenly, my dad grabbed a hold of the doorknob of this door and opened this door, and the room filled with brilliant light. Like a movie set. It was incredible. Brilliant light filled that dark space in my dream. My dad was not exactly a gentleman as we know it, but he allowed my mom to go through the door and cross over that threshold first. Then he did something very unexpected. He turned to his left and looked at me. And at that moment, I knew that he knew I was in that room in my dream. He smiled such a broad smile. I've never seen a smile like that before my dad. My dad, like myself, was a very serious man. And then, after he looked at me, he turned away, and then he walked across the threshold through this door into this brilliant light. And the dream ended. I called it a room of preparation. You may not like that I shared that dream. I don't know. But I want to believe in my heart, mind, and spirit that the Lord provided me that dream to relieve my deep feelings of sorrow with the death of Mom and Pop. This dream experience helped me to resolve personal feelings of grief, which I was not able to do after that time. I know through Mom and Dad's baptism, I know where they are. I know where their future is. I know that they perhaps is in paradise, a place of holding perhaps. I know that they're on the way to heaven because they were Christians. And I had the privilege of baptizing my mom and dad.
Amen.
You know, before you and I leave this physical life on earth, we have an important decision to make. We must ask ourselves, is our soul going to remain in the grave for eternity? Or are you and I going to cross over from death to life and live again, this time in our glorious home in heaven for eternity? Amen. This is your time to make that decision. If you haven't committed your life to Christ yet through baptism, I pray, we pray, that you make that commitment today. Life, an abundant life, is waiting for you. Be baptized and become a child of God.
Yes, sir.
Do it now. Do it now. Do it today while our prayers are with you. You know, this is also a time to come forward and offer your prayer request. One of the things Doug noticed about our church in New York, he was really excited about this. Not only did many people come forward out of their pews and have prayer requests, but the children came forward and prayed for their parents. The children came forward and prayed for their friends in school. Doug was really excited about that. We need more of that here, brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid to come forward with your prayer request. Prayer is powerful, James tells us. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful.
Yes,
amen?
Yes, sir.
Don't be afraid to share what's on your heart and mind. And think about what we talked about today. We don't want your soul to remain in the grave. We want your soul to rise up to heaven and be with God for eternity. Please think about that as we sing.